Rosh Hashanah, Bimarim, Bimaratim, honored rabbis and guests, I would like to tell you a story. A story that began to take shape over 30 years ago in a small little apartment in the heart of Israel. Ma'aseh b'echad sheyatza miYerushalayim l'chutz la'aretz. This is the story of someone who is leaving Yerushalayim to go out of Eretz Yisrael. Amul ha-chachamim, the rabbi said to him, Hare gazru she'en yotzim chutza miYerushalayim, v'lechutz la'aretz al achat kama v'chama. Have they not decreed that one should not even leave Yerushalayim? To leave Israel entirely, how much more so? Amar lahem, he said to them, Nitkan'eiti b'vnei chutz la'aretz, shehem nitka'age'im liYerushalayim. I'm jealous of those who live in chutz la'aretz, for they yearn for Jerusalem. V'ani lo ta'amti ta'am ga'agu'im eleh. And I have not experienced this yearning. Etzei ve'eda ta'am ga'agu'im liYerushalayim. Let me go so that I may experience what it means to yearn for Jerusalem. Heitiru lo latzeit. They permitted him to leave. Al menat, on one condition. Shisaper b'shivcha shel Yerushalayim. That he would sing the praises of Jerusalem. This apocryphal poem, which has hung front and center in my parents' living room for as long as I can remember, my mother made an art piece of it as they were leaving Israel. A constant reminder that yatzatem l'saper b'shivcha shel Yerushalayim, you left b'shlichut, with a mission, a purpose. A mission not to build a career, but to build community and strengthen the Jewish people. Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. A mission not to seek fortune, but to share and spread the treasure of Torah. Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah. A mission not just to yearn for the rebuilding of Jerusalem, but to sing her praises, advocate for her, and foster her love in the hearts of her people. L'saper b'shivcha shel Yerushalayim. As children, we used to joke that 3 years shlichut snowballed into 30 plus years was shlichut gone wrong. But we know that this was, in fact, shlichut done very, very right. All of you here this evening know this. That's why you're here. You know the impact my parents have had on the communities in which they've served and the people whom they have guided and built relationships with over the years. I would like to share with you this evening a different perspective. What this has meant for us, the children growing up in my parents' home. I don't have a lot of time, so we'll narrow it down. We grew up with living examples of what it means to appreciate people, to see the good in each person without judgment. I've always been inspired by my parents' ability to foster genuine relationships with a wide range of people, authentic relationships, earning the respect and admiration of people from various backgrounds, lifestyles, and stages of life. Ahavat Yisrael in its truest form. And despite the public positions they held and their responsibilities to the klal, many of which you've heard attested to here this evening, my parents' focus and commitment to family has always been steadfast. No matter how busy the schedules, how much work needed to be done, how many shiurim would be taught that night, we ate dinner together as a family, on average, 7 days a week. I remember vividly in Toronto years, times of year when there would be multiple evening events a week, and somehow, I don't know how, as a mother myself now, with our children getting older, and it's so difficult, I don't know how, but we always had dinner together. Friday nights growing up meant family night. Games and schmoozing, candy, popcorn, late into the early hours of the morning. Vacation in our home meant traveling cross-continent to visit family. And Yontif meant a house full of grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, connecting us to each other and to our rich heritage. And for the past 15 years, since we've become Uma and Sabaleh, this devotion to family has only expanded to building personal relationships with each of your children-in-law and grandchildren, no matter where in the world they may be. We don't take it for granted that your dedicated service to the community has never been in conflict with these values of time with family and family ties. In her writings, my father's grandmother, Fiona Kosofsky, draws our attention to a small yet hugely consequential detail in Megillat Esther. We all are familiar with the sequence of events. Mordechai overhears Bigson and Seresh plotting to kill the king. He sends word to Esther, who exposes the plot and saves the king's life. But if you think about it in context, his response is strange. Wouldn't Ahasuerus's assassination be Esther's best chance at freedom? We would probably expect Mordechai to ignore what he'd heard, maybe even hope that they'd be successful, and hope for the best. Mordechai, however, decides to expose the plot. But he does so, despite having direct access to the king as a member of his court, he does so by sending word to Esther, who then turns around and reports it in the name of Mordechai. What are they doing? Why are they saving the king's life to begin with? And what's with all the backhanded, convoluted communication channels? Rabbi Tzimchut Kosofsky, Babi Ima, explains as follows. The Gemara relates that Mordechai understood that he and Esther had been put into this challenging situation for a reason. It must have been orchestrated by Hashem. There could be no other explanation for these outlandish challenges that they were facing. Something huge would be happening to the Jewish people, and their personal difficult circumstances would play a critical role in saving the Jewish people. So he does the right thing instead of the personally convenient thing. Mordechai, however, was convinced that Esther would be the one to save the Jewish people. Esther, in turn, was convinced that it would be Mordechai. And so each of them, instead of focusing on their own role, furthering their own position or impact, was focused on empowering the other. We know that ultimately it was both Mordechai and Esther together who played the crucial role that would lead to the salvation of Am Yisrael. And my father will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Mordechai and Esther are the only such partnership in all of Tanakh. Now, I'm not sure if you know this, but it's not always easy to be a rabbi in a Rebbetzin. And like many of us, my parents have their mentors and those who they turn to for guidance and inspiration throughout the years. But most significantly, they draw strength from each other. Both have involved themselves in all aspects of these roles. It was not you take this, I'll take that, but a full partnership in every sense of the word, in every aspect, down to the details. They encouraged each other, were a sounding board for each other, and practically enabled each other the time and space to achieve, to give, and to lead. Of all the many lessons we learned growing up, implicit and explicit, from your personal example, to me, this is certainly the most invaluable. Over the past few parashiyot, we've been learning about the construction of the Mishkan. Unlike the other vessels, like we read yesterday, which are described as covered in gold, the tzipita oto zahav, the instructions for the Aron are worded differently. Mibayit u'michutz tzapenu, cover it with gold from inside and out. From this phraseology in the pasuk, the Gemara learns the centrality of being tocho kavaro, one's external behavior and image should be aligned with their internal value and character. Hashem cautions us against faking it or focusing too much on externals or our image. Rav Soloveitchik observes that Zayin Adar, the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, somewhat ironically, usually falls during the week of Parsha Tetzaveh, the one Parsha after the birth of Moshe in which his name is not mentioned. What better praise, explains the Rav, could we give to Moshe than to highlight that all of his accomplishments and his greatness were not about him, but purely l'shem Shemayim? Knowing my parents behind closed doors, I can attest to the pure motivations that have driven them all these years, l'shem Shemayim. They have never been motivated by their own kavod, externals, or materialism. Their actions, words, commitments, and accomplishments are a pure reflection of who they are inside. They are truly Toho Kabaro. Mami and Abela, our tefillah tonight is that the impact that you've made throughout the years on your communities and on the countless individuals who have been zocha to cross paths with you should continue to reverberate. And may you continue to teach and inspire the Jewish people with your passion and sincerity as you finally come home. I invite you now to all turn your attention to the screens where we have a few messages from those family members who are not able to be here with us this evening.